The Northern. I'm sorry. I should mention too that those of you who love Norman's health report, he'll be joining us in the next half hour, going through the latest health news. The Northern Territory's mandatory alcohol rehab laws are now being applied, with the first problem drinkers reaching what's called the three strikes trigger. Under the laws, which came into effect on the 1st of July, anyone who's taken into protective custody for drunkenness three times within 2 months is assessed for what's called alcohol rehabilitation. Last week, a 46-year-old woman from Alice Springs became the first person to be detained for treatment. And while it's early days, there are a number of health and legal concerns being raised about this $100 million program, not helped by the escape last week of a man in Darwin who was being detained as part of the assessment phase. Russell Goldflum is president of the Territory's Criminal Lawyers Association. Russell, good morning. Welcome to breakfast.
Good morning, Fran.
Russell, can you tell us just briefly how these laws work? What legal rights do people have who are taken into this protective custody for rehabilitation?
Well, we're not sure that they are going to work very well in terms of their stated purpose of rehabilitating very serious abuses of alcohol. But in a nutshell, they work by a person, as you say, picked up when they get their third strike of being taken into protective custody because they're too drunk to be safe on the street. And then they're held in a detention assessment facility for about a week. And within that period, or at the end of that period, they're assessed by a tribunal, which can then lock them up for 3 months in treatment, or put them into the community for treatment. Mm-hmm. But there are real problems with the rights that people have when they become trapped in this system.
Let's go to those rights now. When people face the tribunal, it's called the Alcohol Mandatory Treatment Tribunal. How does that work? Do they go into, before they get locked away for that 3 months, do they have a lawyer with them to press their case or argue their case? Is there any right of argument here?
Well, in theory, they could have a lawyer because they may appoint a legal practitioner to represent them. But there's, in reality, that's not going to happen, and it hasn't happened so far because, firstly, no provision has been made for funding to any of the legal aid services in the Territory to provide lawyers at these hearings. Secondly, the hearings are in secret. Lawyers aren't allowed in. And thirdly, the government has made it quite clear that what they propose to do is encourage the president of the tribunal to use his powers to appoint a lay advocate to appear for the affected person. And the lay advocate is an employee of the Department of Health who's got some expertise in rehab and who's there to act in the best interests of the person. But that's very, very different from the independent, trained legal voice that a person would be entitled to if they're facing being locked up in a criminal court.
But how will these tribunals work, even if they had... Well, for a start, you said the lawyers aren't allowed in, so even if they had a lawyer, you wouldn't be allowed in?
Well, the person, if they can get a lawyer outside the door of the court, appoint a lawyer, then the tribunal will let the lawyer in.
Okay, so once the lawyer would be there with the person in this tribunal, is there any chance or opportunity to argue against the protective custody, or is some kind of mandatory rehabilitation an automatic follow from this process? There's no getting out of it, no matter how you argue.
There would be a chance. For example, a person might have family living on an outstation in a remote area, and they'd be much better off, they could argue to the tribunal, being sent out there and to dry out and iron themselves out bush with family. But that is much less likely to happen when they haven't got effective independent advocacy for them in the tribunal.
Do you know whether the woman from Alice Springs, she's the first person to be tested, does she have legal representation?
No, she didn't.
And do you know what's happened to her? What was the outcome of the tribunal?
I heard on the ABC that she'd been put into a mandatory residential treatment facility. The tribunal's not required to publish the results of its decisions or to give public reasons for any of them. So it's all a little bit in the dark at the moment.
What happens if a person under this system has the compulsory rehabilitation, then is picked up again for drunkenness?
Well, they can go back into the spin dry and go through it all again. After the 3 months, there is some provision for aftercare planning in the Act, which is good. But in reality, there's no way of keeping the person on the wagon after the 3 months are up, because although the mandatory treatment order bans them from drinking, we've abolished the banned drinkers register in the Territory, so licensees don't know if a person who turns up is somebody who shouldn't be drinking, and they'll get served. So it really is set up in a way which is predestined to fail in terms of keeping people off the grog for longer than the actual 3 months that they're locked up.
Well, unless the rehabilitation works. I mean, you can see the intent here from the government, and I think a lot of people would support the idea of giving problem drinkers actual a rehabilitation plan and program and the support to make that happen. What you're concerned about is the compulsory element and the secrecy here, is that right?
I support even some compulsory rehabilitation. What I don't support is the effect of criminalisation of the process. And I don't support, if you are going to deprive people of their liberty, depriving them at the same time of the sort of rights that we take for granted in this community being available to people whose liberty is under threat.
And just very briefly on that criminalisation, the man who was detained and escaped on Monday night, despite being under guard, he was in that assessment process. Is he now subject to criminal sanctions?
Not yet, but if you escape 3 times from your mandatory residential order, then you're committing a criminal offence. And that is a line which we say the government was very foolish to cross.
Russell Goldflam, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks, Bran.
Russell Goldflam is the president of the Northern Territory Criminal Lawyers Association. It's 8:24 on Breakfast.